I'm excited for when people realize Detroit's one of the biggest markets because they've been in the mud for years. But once they get back to good, once all their lottery picks are going to bring them back up, that's going to be exciting. I think they'll be the eastern side because we named three West teams. I think they'll be the eastern side of teams that kind of just make the semifinals, finals every year for the next few years once they get to that level.
You're listening to the Fox Den Sports Podcast. Now, here are your hosts, Todd and his three sons, Kellen, Garrett, and Gannon.
Welcome back to all of our friends, family, and foes to the Fox Den Sports Podcast, along with my three sons, Kellen, Garrett, and Gannon. I am Todd Fox, and together we make up the Fox Den Sports Podcast. And with today marking our 79th episode, what player do you think of that wore the jersey number 79?
Can't go wrong with Bob St. Clair.
You know, Bobby?
And why is that, Gannon?
Class dude, you know, you always heard good things on and off the field. Never put a player down and never put himself up, you know.
I'm going to go with Ronnie Staley, tackle for the Ravens right now. He's the right tackle. Last episode, I went Orlando Brown. This episode, I'm going the opposite side with Ronnie Staley, drafted out of Notre Dame, I believe. He's one of the best offensive linemen in the league right now, if not the best. He did have his first year back from an injury last year. But, one of the most highly touted tackles in the game right now and highly paid.
I got to go Ray Childress, or as Gary used to call him, Ray Childress. he was drafted in 1985, round one, pick three to the Houston Oilers, whose jerseys are making a comeback this year. Five-time Pro Bowl, one-time All-Pro, 887 tackles, 76.5 sacks, 19 forced fumbles. You'd love to see it.
All right. I'll tell you, you guys are all wrong. It's Harvey Martin, Dallas Cowboys. The third-round pick in the 1973 draft, pick number 53 out of East Texas. Harvey, he was a Super Bowl champion in Super Bowl 12, and he also was a co-MVP along with Randy White in Super Bowl 12 as well. NFL Defensive Player of the Year 1977. Sadly, Mr. Harvey Martin did unfortunately pass away in 2001 at the age of 51. But Harvey Martin, during my childhood, dude was a, at the time, I thought he was a big-time sack machine. He was good. So Harvey Martin is number 79. I know, Garrett, you've got some information on the NBA. I think you want to talk about a little bit. What do you got?
Yes. Today, I want you guys to, take a step into the room with me of where David Stern takes over as commissioner and changes the way the NBA's culture and just like thought process for GMs is thought of, because David Stern, in 30 years of commissioner, had 8 total teams win an NBA championship.
Yeah.
Adam Silver, in almost 10 years, has already had 6. So, in those, first off, I want to see if you guys can name those 8 teams for David Stern. Boston. And that is from 1984 to 2014.
Boston. Chicago, yeah. Lakers, San Antonio, Detroit.
The Rockets up in there? I don't remember.
Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
Was Dallas? Dallas won their one.
Yeah.
Was it Miami? Left. Is it Miami?
That was pretty quick. That was pretty quick. So, but yeah, Adam Silver already 6, all of which other than Warriors who have won 4. That's the main difference right there. But Cavs, Raptors, Lakers, Bucks, and Nuggets all winning 1. But yeah, and also another thing, so 9 players in the NBA history have accounted for 48 of the 77 championships.
Nine players.
62% of every NBA championship divided through nine players. So another one.
Did they play on the same? No. Did he even play on the same team?
No.
Okay.
Want to see if you guys can name all nine and how many they won.
Bill Russell. Yeah. Nine or 12?
He went 11, didn't he?
11. I thought 11.
Yeah, yeah.
11, yeah.
Jordan, LeBron. Six.
Jordan with six. Yeah, LeBron.
Four.
Magic's Curry got four. Magic's there, right? Got five. Kareem's got six.
Kareem's not a part of that list.
Why is he not a part?
Because there's another player.
Kobe, okay. Five.
Yeah.
James Worthy, six.
What? Who was it? Wilt?
Tim Duncan, five. Tim Duncan, five.
Good one.
Tim Duncan, yeah. You're missing. One of them's kind of different. Doesn't have
Robert
as many,
Horry.
But...
Robert Horry, six.
No.
Really?
I said Jordan, right?
Yeah.
What time frame are you talking, Gary, for different?
Talking like the 50s and then the 70s, I believe.
Bob Cousy?
No.
Not a bad guess.
I never heard of the guy from the 50s.
50s?
Can you give us a hint? I don't know if you haven't.
One of them's George Mikan. He had five.
George Mikan was with the Lakers. Yeah. Minnesota Lakers, though.
Minneapolis.
And y'all, now you guys are just missing two, unless I missed one of those names. But
what team?
I was thinking Curry. I think Gannon said Curry.
What year? What time frame?
Like 70s, 80s.
Oh, still.
70s? Well,
maybe the 80s. Just the 80s, then.
It was...
Larry Bird?
Larry with three.
Yeah.
Oh, is that one of the guys you were talking about? I thought we already said Celtics, though. Oh,
well,
they couldn't have played together. Okay, I see what you're saying.
It's not Shaq or Kobe. I don't know why I'm thinking
that. You guys already said Kobe, yeah.
Yeah.
So what year is the other one or time frame?
Same, I think. Same. 80s.
80s? Hakeem? I mean...
Magic Johnson.
I said Magic. Five.
We did say
that's
Magic.
All say, okay, I didn't hear Magic.
Right,
but
Magic was one of the first ones that said. I will co-sign that one.
I didn't hear it. I had a lot
of
names. Just
we didn't get George, though.
No, I didn't get George.
Gary's just fighting for that.
How many
that
did he win?
Roughly 30-minute podcast. We'll spend 15 minutes, and he just
trying to
Magic.
Guess. How many did George Mikan win, though?
He won five.
Did he? Okay.
The list was mainly referring to, like, so George won the most of his decade. Bill, obviously, his. Magic, okay. And Larry, okay, were fighting for theirs. Kobe, or LeBron, not LeBron. Michael dominated his decade. Kobe was, you know, won a lot.
Yep.
With Tim Duncan included, and the LeBron and Steph have swapped.
Didn't Kareem won six, though, didn't he? He won five with the Lakers and one with Milwaukee?
Yeah, but I think he was in between, like I'm saying, like the Bill Russell and Magic's.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
And he was with Magic. I think he was Magic with five of those wins. So.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah.
Anyways. So when Adam Silver took over, him, like the NBA and then the CBA, so like the people who are deciding like television rights, stuff like that, like one of the things they agreed on the most was getting like some diversity in who was winning, because I think we all got to the norm where it was just back-to-back winners or like same team was winning every 2 to 3 years. And it not didn't get old, but if it wasn't your team, like it just kind of sucked.
It stinks if it's not your team.
Yeah.
So are you saying they asked LeBron to keep switching teams?
Yeah. But no, since he's taken over, like I'm trying to figure out, and I don't know this. That's why I'm asking you guys, like, what do you think's changed in the process of, I guess, being the GM of a team and also just the NBA that's allowed for so many different teams to win? And it's not like it's the same players switching teams.
Free agency.
Like it's just the different teams and different players in general. Cause like I said, obviously minus the Warriors with that dynasty, like LeBron's had a couple, then you had Kawhi win one, Giannis win one, and Jokic win one.
Free agency has been probably one of the biggest factors, because that didn't come into play until probably, what, 90s?
Yeah, but it's been around for a minute still.
No, I agree.
Almost
30
years.
Like, years ago,
free agency.
Years ago, I mean, like those Boston teams that won 11 championships or whatever, 11 and 13 years. Of course, there weren't very many teams around either, though, at that time. But they kept those same players, so that's how they won championships.
I think
even in those teams, the Lakers was with Magic and Kareem.
It's also much more of an aggressive league. Like every year we see one, two, maybe three teams get added into trying to be contenders. And like people are trying to capitalize in their 3-year span. Like there's a lot more aggression within just the realm of trying to capitalize.
Spend a lot of money for a couple of years and then be irrelevant after that.
Like that's like the Raptors, they did it exactly that. And now I'm trying to think, I guess that only counts for one, maybe in the past decade, but I guess it hasn't worked. There's still been chances. Like a lot of teams have been pushing for that. Like the Lakers, they've done that too, I guess, too.
So, I mean, do you think it's good or bad for the NBA to have considered parity or not?
Well, that's what I was going to ask, but I think it's great.
Way better. Yeah.
I think it gets the fans more involved because they know that within 5 years, you could be a contender.
They could have a shot. Yeah. No, I agree 100%.
That's OKC having the second pick last year, and then we'll be top of the West in 2-3 years. Like,
well, here's what's funny. Like, those dynasty teams, is there going to be that team that everybody hates? You know, because, like, when I was a kid, I'm not going to say it was all like this, but there was a lot of Laker fans or a lot of Celtics fans. I sided with the Lakers when I was a kid because I liked Magic and Kareem and those guys. Couldn't stand Boston, hated Boston. Now I'm like, man, why did I hate Boston? Because Larry Bird, Danny Ainge, all the Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish, all these guys are fantastic, right? Bulls, I was on the Bulls side of winning all those championships. And like right in San Antonio, it was kind of like at the beginning I was happy, and then after – they were just kind of like San Antonio took it. They were different. I mean, they didn't talk smack. And I mean, Tim Duncan was just classy, to be honest with you. So they were just, I don't want to say a boring champion, but they, you know what I mean?
Two of their three best players were four.
Golden State, though, is the team I'm just like, when they won their first, I'm like, yeah, it's cool, man. Now I'm like, I can't stand the guys. You know what I mean? So I want them to lose. So they're the, who would you say does that make any sense? Are there going to be teams that people just like the main one that everybody despises nowadays or no?
Yeah, there will be.
If it goes the way everybody thinks it's going to go, it's going to be Oklahoma City and San Antonio.
As
the hated teams.
And Memphis.
Or you like one or the other, but some people might hate both.
Yeah.
I think Memphis as well.
I'd
like to say yes, but.
What's that?
I'd like to say yes to Memphis, but it's hard to know like if they're going to get that good.
The only thing about free agency is these big cities, the Bostons, the Philadelphias, those kind of teams are going to always try to pay people to play, you know, in the big city. Do you have something to say, Ian?
I don't know about Philadelphia, though. I think the only reason they're relevant is because of Embiid, and pretty soon – or it's going to go back to nobody thinks
soon,
of them.
I think I'm excited for when people realize Detroit's one of the biggest markets because they've been in the mud for years. But once they get back to good, once all their lottery picks are going to bring them back up, that's going to be exciting. I think they'll be the Eastern side because we named three West teams. I think they'll be the Eastern side of teams that kind of just make the semifinals, finals every year for the next few years once they get to that level.
If Bronny gets good enough to start whatever team he's on, most of the country will hate.
Is he going to be okay? That's my question.
I would hope it's fine.
Yeah, I was scary, though.
It is scary, but I think he'll be.
Agree, though. Like, he's going to have so much baggage from people just feelings towards his dad. Like, it's just.
There's going to be three groups. There's going to be the people that hate him because they hate LeBron. There's going to be people that hate him because he's not LeBron. And then there's going to be people that love him.
Yeah, the people who hate him because they think he's only there because of LeBron. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe the people that expect him to be just as good as LeBron. And like, maybe, I hope he can be, but odds are probably not. LeBron's one of the best of all time. Like, it's a lot to live up to.
But yeah, you're still going to have, like, the Lakers are always going to try to buy players. They're the Yankees of
just because of history.
Well, I mean, we,
you know what I mean?
It's more just the market and the
history.
History, but I was gonna say, I can't think like you get shown off basically. It's a bigger market, like the display of you more than the money.
Okay.
Like they're not directly paying you money, but you're gonna get more money from endorsements and stuff just because you're on LA, New York City, Miami.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's crazy is New York's the biggest, you know, what do you call it, media market, and they can't get anybody to play there.
They're all just stinkers.
You know what I mean? That's the thing, though, is Oklahoma City's on the way up to being probably a top half city in the NBA, especially with the new arena. Like, I think if new arena and all the stuff that the city and the state's doing and stuff, we could be top 10 in the next decade for, like, and including our history of hopefully the next decade. Like, so
I would say it's going to be tragic that what I think is going to be our best years, some of them might be played like in some kind of dumpster arena. I don't know what they're going to do, or like, because are they going to tear down and then build up the new one, or are they going to build a separate one?
They'll build there's a Cox Convention Center across the street.
Right. Oh, I thought they weren't doing that.
Because the city owns that, so that's what people are thinking they're going to knock down and build it there.
I thought they weren't going to do that. I hope so, because, like I said, I want like SGA and Chet's prime years together.
Sure.
I don't think the city could afford to have them play somewhere else.
No.
And build the stadium.
To be able to. Yeah, you're right.
Perfect area, for sure. But no, I don't understand the ins and outs of that. Like, that what is making it a more of an NBA arena? I don't understand, you know, the difference. I don't know if any of you guys do, but
size wise, it's going to be supposed to be a lot bigger. It's supposed to have a lot more like fan interaction stuff.
Yeah.
Which, couldn't tell you. I've only been to like one or two NBA stadiums. I don't know what the heck that means, but it's just pretty much the whole thing in general is just an upgrade. Like, I don't think the amenities at our stadium's even on par with 90% of the rest of the league.
That's what I was going to say. Our arena is not that good right now.
Really? I mean, it wasn't built for an NBA team. It was just like it's been there long before them.
What are you, when you for say, it. Do you think they'll build it like for more people? Because I mean, to me, you don't want to build it too big. You know what I mean? NBA to me is like 18 to 22,000.
The NBA minimum's, the NBA minimum's about to be like 20,000, I think.
Is it really?
Or if not more. Yeah.
I think our arena is 18 right now, or 17.
I think
and
you're
half.
Yeah. We're in the bottom like 10 size wise.
If everything goes according to plan, they will fill that arena.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree 100%.
Will.
Yeah.
They will.
They just Mark Daigneault just signed a contract extension. He's phenomenal for sure. I mean, then you get, you know, like we just said, I mean, Chet, Shea. Those are the two probably when you're the building blocks.
And talking about teams that hate and stuff, yeah. OKC hasn't had a player since Westbrook about that gets that much hate as Chet. Like, that guy gets so much publicity.
But why? I don't
like
understand.
Hype, but so much hate because he's a unique player.
Okay.
Everybody hates hyped up players, and then
he's
skinny.
Got a lot of confidence.
So it's easy to make fun of.
But like that guy's going to bring in a lot of hate, and it's going to be kind of sweet, though.
Yeah, and two, cool. He's the only one on the I don't know. Him and Giddy both. People hate Giddy too, but like they
love it.
Put their hands up on the court. Like somebody comes at them, they're not going to be afraid. Like they'll talk on the court. They'll talk to coaches. Like they have.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like the thing that comes to mind is last year in the play-in game when Giddy got kicked in the stuff and like,
he started
just
saying,
going at the guy and everyone had to hold him back. Like Giddy was about to swing.
Yeah,
I did see like a poll on Twitter of who was most likely to punch another player this year, and
I think it was Giddy.
Giddy won.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
That's so stuff like that. Like
obviously a joke, but yeah.
But I didn't even know that he was that fired up because he's.
I don't know. Best part about it is while he's doing it, Shea's holding him back, and he's like trying not. He's cracking up. While he's trying to hold him back.
Well, because he's like a kid out there trying to fight.
Yeah, with like an Australian accent. Like,
well,
there's
like,
you know,
he's still got,
he's got
his One Direction.
I love
haircut.
It.
Like,
I love it.
Tell him what words he
I love it. Because he's not, how old is he? Like 20 years old or something? 21. Yeah.
So he's younger than those two twins that just got drafted with all the hype.
No, I love it. I think it's
and
great.
Cason Wallace, he's younger than him and Chet.
Nah, it'll be that'll be. I mean, if all goes according to plan, yeah, us and San Antonio, and what stinks is we're in the same conference. But
here's what has to happen, which we've talked about this before. Got to keep them together because we had an insanely young, one of the greatest young cores you'll ever see.
Great.
Just got to keep them together.
And my next thing is I was looking through this kind of Twitter feed and stuff, and it made me kind of realize, do you guys think Sam Presti knew that those three weren't going to be able to win one? And so he's like, you know what? Like, get rid of Harden, got what he could, kept Durant and Westbrook. So, like, obviously players that could win it, but he wasn't going to be surprised if we didn't. And then just slowly just got to the point where we were still relevant to the and making the playoffs, selling out 1 year, and then 2 years later, we're a competitor again.
I think yes, because here you go. Like, Presti's always been like he loves the personable guys and like the attitude of people. And with Harden like partying during the NBA Finals, I don't think he wanted any business to do with that. And also, he knew Ibaka was a better choice for fit wise. Like,
yeah,
at that point, people don't like to admit it, but at that point, Ibaka was one of the best interior defenders, averaging I think almost 3 blocks a game. That might be an exaggeration, but he was a way better fit to put with Durant and Westbrook. And I think that's a good point. I think he had an idea that Harden was crazy talented, but it'd be way better to put him elsewhere and not go into luxury tax for a decade.
Yeah.
On risking somebody. And we've seen Harden is not serious enough to be able to step up in the playoffs. And I always hate that narrative, but after a decade of it, like, it's just true. He's always finding reasons to like blame and stuff. I don't know.
He's got 1 foot in and 1 foot out, it seems like.
Yeah.
I mean, whenever your teammates are even calling it out, like, yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah.
Because Joel said something after they lost this year.
No, I agree. I just don't.
Joel also, but.
Yeah, if Joel's saying it, I feel like that's even pretty bad.
He knows. Because, yeah, he's.
Well, I'm saying because he's
Yeah, he's not clutch either. But I don't know if Presti honestly knew. I do think he thought he could win with Durant. I really do. I think he thought as long as he had KD there, he would be able to win. But I don't, you know, I'd love to be a fly on the wall when it all happened, or, you know, put some truth serum in him. But like, if he really knew if Durant was leaving or not, or if it was like just a shock.
He did.
He what?
I wouldn't think he did. Cause remember he told Westbrook the night before that he was staying. Like,
yeah.
If he told Presti that he was leaving, Westbrook would have known.
I don't think he. Yeah. I think maybe he knew the Harden part, and that's why I got rid of him. But like, if he knew anything, if he knew he couldn't win with Durant, Durant would have been traded because we could have got so much for him. It wasn't worth dragging
true,
us on.
But
yeah,
I think maybe the Harden part, he knew that three couldn't work together. But if he knew that Westbrook and Durant weren't going to win, we would have got rid of them. Or got rid of one of them sooner.
Got rid of Westbrook. Yeah.
You wouldn't let Durant walk. You would trade Durant because Durant.
I agree.
We could have. Who knows what we could have got for Durant? That's like trading. Like at that time,
yeah, honest.
Trading one of the best players in the league, top three, if not the best.
We didn't get very much for that.
We didn't get anything. But
you know what I mean? Well, but yeah, we didn't get squat. But yeah, you're right. Go ahead.
I think the second Kevin Durant signed is the second Presti started planning for more for the future, because you see him bring in players that he knew down the road he could trade for quite a bit. Like, obviously this was a lucky one, but like Sabonis drafting him and having him and just Oladipo for Paul Oladipo, George. Yeah. Like, and then you got Jeremy Grant, who we traded for, and then a couple years later traded for a first round pick.
Sure.
Like players like that. I think that's whenever he started honestly just building a team to get these players a lot of like the ball in their hands quite a bit to show their talent, and then dump them.
He's a
personally
genius.
I
Westbrook
think
was
early,
the fans coming, and then the second that Westbrook looked like obviously
had
I know,
some value,
yeah, value. But now again, I know I we got Paul George, I know we got Carmelo in the middle of that too.
Well, here's
but
the
I think
is,
that was also just a part of it. Like, bring it in, give it a couple years. If not, we're gonna trade them for a heck of a lot more than what we traded for them.
I was about to say, because George, like, you trade for him and you still have a way out in case it doesn't work out. He never really set in stone what he wanted to try. Like a lot of teams right now, they're putting all their eggs in this basket for right now, and if it doesn't work, they're screwed. But yeah. he opened up a slight contender. We were never quite there, but we were close. And then he still, like you said, he turned it and then faced it into, we couldn't have even imagined how much we've gotten back for Paul George and Westbrook.
Yeah, because remember when we traded Harden, we got some, I don't know, it was
the Jeremy Lamb.
Yeah, kind of garbage. And you're right, we didn't get anything at all for Kevin Durant. And that's, man, because he did all this like in the last, since, I mean, Paul George is kind of the one that started all this process, don't you think? Like all the getting all those, acquiring all those picks.
Yeah, I mean, you could say so, but that's mainly just because of the lump sum we got for it.
I think more he was just, I think earlier on, he was really good at rolling with the punches because, you can say what all this plan, he didn't know Paul George was going to request a trade and then Westbrook was going to request a trade. They got their value up, but like it's not like he signed Paul George planning on Paul George to blow the playoffs and then request a trade. Like he began by rolling with the punches properly,
yeah,
but he recovered and then saw what he needed to do, because after that, after we got rid of them, we had nothing. We had some kid from LA that we were hoping was going to be good, but like nobody knew he was going to be this good.
I did.
He looked really good. Well, but nobody knew he was going to be one of the best.
You talking about Shea?
Yeah. So Jerry, like,
Jerry West knew.
Yeah, I had an idea.
Really quick, Paul George, that's another thing. Paul George didn't request. Sam Presti told him when he signed him he'd give him 2 years.
Oh, I didn't know
Westbrook
that.
Both. And also, like, I'll give you guys 2 years for all this, 2 to 3 years. And then after that.
It was 1 year, though, wasn't it?
The extension.
No, he played two, but remember, he signed a contract.
But whenever he signed that one, he said, try it out for another year, basically, to him and Westbrook and Presti. They agreed on it.
Yeah, that was more Paul requesting to stay for an extra year.
One thing I forgot to mention is, like, Presti would have paid Harden to luxury tax, but, like, Clay Bennett told, like, he didn't want to go into luxury tax.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I forgot to say, because... So what I meant was, like, yeah, he just chose Harden or Ibaka above Harden. He would have chosen them both, though.
Okay, so
Clay Bennett said no.
Had Clay Bennett said yes, do you think we would have ever saw a championship? No.
No.
Look at every single one of those players individually.
Yeah, they can't mesh.
Yeah, but I think their ego was just low enough that we might have figured it out.
One of them,
their egos grew
out
later because they all went on alone and started doing crazy things.
One of them would have broken out, though, I think.
And it, yeah,
would have 100% was Harden.
Sure. Yeah. Harden. Yeah.
Yeah. I had him. It's like him, Westbrook, and then Durant last, I think. But
right. And then, but then again, none of us knew at the time he was going to be like that scoring guy that he was in Houston. You know what I mean?
I mean, historic. He was a really good. He was just the sixth man. Like, right. I think we all knew because we were all devastated when he got traded.
No, I don't disagree, but I'm just saying. I remember he went to Houston and all of a sudden it was like 30 plus points a game. I'm like, man, where was this? Or even though he was sixth man. I mean, let me ask you this real quick. I know we're running out of time, but hypothetically, we go back in time. Who do you get rid of first of those four?
Westbrook.
Yeah.
I go the exact same way we did it.
Yeah, no, Westbrook is way better than Harden.
Okay, if I saw the situation we were in now and I didn't know the future of that,
right?
I agree with Gary. Right. But if let's say you have a 5-year span and I go back in time, I'm trying out Westbrook because
that's what Westbrook I would do. I agree with you 100%.
Westbrook was on another planet compared to James Harden at that point.
Yeah,
so that's not even. I don't
well,
understand
saying,
what
we know the outcome.
We're saying
we're saying
going back, knowing what we know now, what would you do?
Yeah, exactly what Gary said. Exactly what we did.
I still wouldn't. No,
actually, I'm going to change my answer. I'm going to go get rid of Harden. I'm going to, because if he didn't get injured in 2015, we win that. We put up 5 more points in one of the 2016 Western Conference Finals. We beat the Cavs that year. I changed my answer. I go with get rid of Harden still. I changed.
I go to Westbrook because I, in my opinion, he's the whole sole reason why none of that worked.
Well, but he had way more
time. I just, to back that up.
Every player that's ever played with Westbrook loves playing with Westbrook. Yeah, I don't understand why Dad still thinks that when we have like all the proof in the world showing that that's not true, and proof? Nothing backing up Dad's claim.
Every player loves playing with Westbrook. Nobody has a bad thing to say about him. Harden's the one that's going out causing problems, requesting trades.
Kevin Durant didn't like playing with him.
That is not true.
Yeah, he's come out and said that's one of his favorite teams he's been on recently.
Of course he's saying that. He's going to say that.
No, he's not, because it's true. Kevin Durant out of anybody is going to speak his mind.
No.
Kevin Durant doesn't care what anybody thinks.
He's saying that right now because it looks good.
If Kevin Durant doesn't care about what looks good.
Westbrook took almost a decade ago. Westbrook's terrible.
No, I was about to say Westbrook had so much more talent than Harden. Yeah, if we were to trade Westbrook and keep Harden, Harden wouldn't have been the same player. Would have been terrible.
I don't know, compared to what Westbrook turned out to be. I just know if Westbrook would have not shot and he tried to drive to the basket like Jordan, he would have been better.
Yes, everybody has a thing they can improve. But if Harden didn't party in club every night and request a trade every 2 months, he'd be one of the best.
I don't think you can blame the coach. I think Westbrook is on a he's uncoachable, and that's been said. We've heard that. Don't tell me you haven't heard that. He's an uncoachable player.
Yeah, I hear that from people on Twitter. Never heard that from a former coach.
If it was rookie year and you had a different coach, if you had Mark Daigneault on him back in the day.
No, I agree. Daigneault wouldn't let him get away with that.
That's why I'm blaming the coach.
Nah.
Or a veteran presence, but we all know this. We didn't have any veteran presence. I just don't understand. Like, I've been saying it for years, and I'm right.
And it's not true.
It is true. And Kellen said players say how much they – it's not how much they love, how much he's one of their best teammates they've had in their – basketball like career. Why does every player keep
Paul George wanted him. Harden wants to go play with him for a third time.
Yeah. Bradley Beal loved him.
Yeah.
Durant loved him.
Durant did not love him. Stop it.
Yes, he did.
That's just the media wanting him to not like
him.
Yeah. Durant does not care what people think. He'll tell you what he thinks.
The foreign rookie in a
I think he's scared of Westbrook.
Nah, never.
Go ahead, Gannon. I'm sorry. What'd you say? What are you saying? Say it. All right, so I want you guys to rank these legendary point guards blindly without knowing who comes next, all right? Number one, John Stockton.
Five. Four. Oscar Robertson.
Four. Three.
Four.
Yeah.
I said four.
No. Chris Paul.
Five.
Three.
Steph Curry.
One.
One.
Two.
Magic Johnson.
Two.
One.
Two.
That would have been my same list.
Yeah, I probably would have kept it.
Westbrook should have been three, but he wasn't on there.
Good grief. That'll be another podcast.
You just don't understand what you witnessed for 3 years in a row of the most dominant player. When you can be plus 18 every game for a playoff run, but the second you go on the bench, you're minus 58. That's a problem.
Also, 2015 was like we would have won if Pat Bev didn't hurt injure him, but Westbrook was like the entire motor.
Do you remember who won that year? I don't know.
It was Golden State, wasn't it? Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah, but I'm saying he was the entire. I don't know. I just can't be convinced.
I just never was a. The biggest fan of the man.
You probably think Baker isn't a very good quarterback for OU since he didn't win a championship, huh? So that's basically
that
all you.
I don't think that at all. I think he was a very good quarterback.
Dak stinks because he hasn't won. You think Westbrook stinks because he hasn't won? Any player who plays for your teams that doesn't win at all, you think they need to get rid of and dump and move on?
I thought Kevin Durant was really good. And that's not because
he's won one.
I thought he was good before that. I thought he was great before that.
That'd be idiotic to say that he wasn't anything but great.
Right. Like, that's what I'm saying, though. I mean, you can't say that. I mean, Baker Mayfield, yeah, I think he was a really good college quarterback. I don't think he's a leader of people, though. I think he makes some real bonehead decisions. Yeah. So, anyway. But we would like to thank all of our listeners for listening to our Fox Den Sports Podcast, taking the time out of your day. We really do appreciate it. And as always, I want to remind everyone that iron sharpens iron.
Please stay safe.
Be savage and not average.
And remember to join the Skulk.
Until next time, goodbye,
everybody.
You've been listening to the Fox Den Sports Podcast with Todd, Kellen, Garrett, and Gannon. Find us on Facebook at Fox Den Sports. That's Fox with two X's. Drop us an email at foxdensports@yahoo.com. And be sure to share this podcast with other sports fans in your life. This has been Fox Den Sports.